Happy Christmas from Radio Arianna. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 21st of December, 2018. It's the shortest day, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, I've got a particularly shocking news story to begin with today. I've actually got two shocking news stories, although one of them is predictable. And I'd like to just draw a contrast between the two, and they both concern jail sentences, and they both concern terrorism. And in one case, the person in the dock was non-white Muslim, and in the other case, the people in the dock were young white people, both accused of terrorism. The brown guy in the dock was screaming Allah snack bar while waving a samurai sword and trying to kill police. And the white people involved liked to dress up in their own homes, and they liked to say racist things in chat rooms. And they also, or some of them, allegedly used to be members of National Action. One group have been given jail sentences of 34 years, and the other alleged terrorist has been set free. And of course, this happened, in Britain. A man who attacked police with a sword outside Buckingham Palace while repeatedly screaming Allahu Akbar has been found not guilty of preparing acts of terrorism. Mohsinath Chowdhury, that makes a change, doesn't it, for him not to actually be called Muhammad, he's called Mohsinath. Mohsinath Chowdhury, 27, told jurors his claims to support ISIS were in jest, and his attack was because he was depressed and he wanted police to kill him. The jury unanimously acquitted the Uber driver, who lashed out at three officers on August the 25th, last year. One of the officers said he had fought for his life in the terrifying incident, but a jury had failed to reach a verdict in June this year. After that trial collapsed, Chowdhury was held at Belmarsh Prison, where he passed the time sketching pictures of an Islamic terrorist gunning down a man outside number 10. His latest trial was shown the drawing, in which the attacker is depicted shouting Allahu Akbar as blood sprays across the front door, along with a sketch of a plane hitting the Twin Towers in New York. Prosecutors at this trial said Chowdhury had chosen self-radicalisation and had scoured the internet for articles linked to Jihadi John and ISIS beheadings. Today, Chowdhury of Luton, Bedfordshire, bit his lip, raised his eyebrows, and then saluted the jurors after they spent 11 hours and 36 minutes considering the verdict. So they've actually had two trials for him now, two trials, and he hasn't been found guilty of terrorism, despite drawing pictures of it, despite going out with a sword, despite attacking three police officers with it who thought that they were fighting for their very lives in trying to prevent him, and yet the jurors had let him off. Why could this be? Could it possibly be because the jury was made up of brown people? Could it be that the jury was made up of Muslims who did not want to find another Muslim guilty? I would imagine that the police officers that were the victims of this attack, I would imagine they're pretty furious about the result of this trial. And I would guess that they were furious about the result of the first trial, and that's why they had to have a second one. I'm finding this shocking that this guy could just walk free and apparently have the jury believe his story about how he was depressed and he just wanted the police to kill him. I don't see that there's any evidence that he wanted the police to kill him. I see evidence that he wanted to kill the police and didn't care if he got killed in the process. During the trial at the Old Bailey, that's in London as well, which is 60% non-white, so the jury would have been at least 60% non-white too, Chowdhury claimed he was depressed and wanted police to kill him. He had repeatedly shouted, "Allahu Akbar," God is greatest, while wrestling for control of a 4-foot blade at Constitution Hill in central London. Chowdhury had driven his blue Toyota Prius at a marked police van before officers sprayed him with CS gas when they saw him sat in his car with the deadly weapon. So he also tried to run the police over. I mean, what does it matter if he's expecting the police to kill him? Then this is the equivalent of a suicide bomber, isn't it? This is the equivalent of a suicide bomber that goes out and blows themselves up and in the process kills a lot of people. The point of the suicide bomber is to kill lots of other people. The fact that the guy that blows himself up as well, that's just their method of getting the bomb in there. And what's happened here is this is a suicide swordsman. It was a suicide swordsman that was expecting to chop police up with a sword and possibly end up being killed himself in the process. And yet the jury have found him innocent. He had set off from his home with the sword and a blade sharpener before swerving in front of the police van at about 8:30 p.m. Chowdhury said he had been feeling lonely and depressed and only wanted to get himself killed by brandishing the blade at police officers. So what was he doing driving the car into them then? If all he wanted to do, and why did the police officers say that they were fighting for their lives if all he did was wave the blade at them? He said he had so many chances to get out of his car and kill the officers, but he chose not to. Chowdhury claimed he felt guilty about being a UK citizen, since Muslims in Yemen were being killed by British weapons supplied to Saudi Arabia. And this highlights a problem with having a multicultural country. There will always be divided loyalties between the people that are in it. If you have Muslims in your country, quite clearly they are going to be sympathetic to other Muslims. And if we are going to go to war against Islamic states such as Syria, Libya, Iraq, then the Muslims in Europe and in America are going to feel aggrieved at our countries, our white countries, and they're going to act like a fifth column. And we see this. This is why we see these terror attacks that are occurring in France, Britain, wherever there are Muslims in Europe, these terrorist attacks are taking place. And it's absolutely crazy to think that you can just mix different races up in a territory and their loyalty will be to that territory instead of to their race. You have, everybody has friends, but their loyalty is to their family, not to their friends. It doesn't matter where you are, your loyalty will always be to your family, no matter what country you are actually in. That's your loyalty. Your loyalty is to your blood and to your heritage. Why we would think that Indians and Africans, once they set foot in Britain, their loyalty suddenly becomes to Britain instead of to their ancestors, is a crazy idea. An absolutely crazy idea that can only have been dreamt up in order to harm us as white people. In a WhatsApp group chat, Chowdhury was asked if his profile picture was an ISIS flag. And he responded, "It is an ISIS flag because I support ISIS," followed by a laughing emoji. He later told jurors that this was all in jest. Now, compare that to the trials against the alleged National Action members that are being accused of wanting to carry out these terrorist acts, and they have said, look, this wasn't meant for public viewing. A lot of this was just said in jest. We were trying to be as extreme as possible. And the jurors didn't believe it. Yet they believe this guy who openly says it is an ISIS flag because I support ISIS, who then draws pictures of killing white people and tries to carry out a terrorist act. Chowdhury was born in London in May 1991 and later moved to Luton, working as a self-employed Uber driver. The magic dirt doesn't work, does it? This guy is a second-generation immigrant, and he still goes out there ostensibly trying to kill police with a sword. That's what the police have told us. And it's a little bit difficult because he's been found innocent. It's a little bit difficult for me to say, well, the guy is a terrorist. I am referring to the police witness statements that said that he attacked them with a sword and that they felt that they were fighting for their very lives. Obviously, I can't accuse Chowdhury of being a terrorist because he's been found innocent, but I'm just pointing out all the evidence showed something completely different. Perhaps we're not being given all the evidence in the media here. This is a report from the Daily Mail. But I don't think the Daily Mail are particularly pleased about this judgment either. Further social media was revealed showing Chowdhury praising the Westminster Bridge terrorist Khalid Massoud and claiming that all the non-Muslim victims of the atrocity would go to hell. Chowdhury urged his family to struggle against the enemies of Allah, including the Queen and British soldiers, in a suicide note left on his sister's laptop. That's really a smoking gun, isn't it, on his suicide note, telling his family to continue the struggle against the Queen and British soldiers. Sneha Chowdhury, 24, said her brother was not a troublemaker, just a practical joker. Sneha Chowdhury said he didn't do nothing. She would say that, wouldn't she? She said his interests included cartoons, funny stuff, and things like memes. She said she found it odd when he suggested they watch The State, a Channel 4 documentary about the rise of ISIS. Chowdhury had also conducted internet searches for beheadings and Prophet Muhammad crimes and Muhammad sex slaves. Prosecutor Timothy Cray said Chowdhury planned to die as a martyr, fighting in the name of Allah, in the wake of the terror attacks at Westminster and London Bridge last year. PC Ian Midgley and PC Gavin Hutt bravely approached Chowdhury and managed to overpower him and retrieve the sword. PC Hutt said Chowdhury started screaming Allahu Akbar while wielding the sword. Investigators found Chowdhury had searched beheadings in Chechnya, Islamic State beheadings, and Jihadi John on the internet. He told the court, "I felt lonely and depressed. I told my sister I didn't want to live anymore. My intention was only to show the sword to a soldier or the police and so get them to shoot me." I mean, what a kind of a cock and bull story is that? My intention was just to show the sword to them so that they would shoot me. And has this guy got learning difficulties? Is he mentally retarded? I would say he's pretty clever getting the jury to find him innocent. Continuing, "If I was going to do any acts of terrorism, I could have got out of the car with my sword when Mr. Gavin was approaching. I had so many chances. I reject the allegations of terrorism." Chowdhury said he had felt guilty for being a citizen of the United Kingdom while Muslims in Yemen were being killed by weapons that the government had sold to Saudi Arabia. "I came across articles criticising the UK government for selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, who were killing these people," he explained. "Since I realised we were giving aid to them, and at the same time providing the weapons for them to be killed, I thought this was a massive contradiction. I felt depressed and guilty. I felt I was responsible for the decisions taken by my government while my family were dying. You just look at that. He thinks of the British government as his government, yet when he talks about his family, he means Muslims in Yemen. He doesn't mean anybody else. I mean, it's quite clear that who this guy's loyalties are. He's essentially being expected to be schizophrenic, to support the British government while at the same time knowing that actually his heritage is with brown Muslims rather than with white British people. He said, I had to shun these people and show my disapproval. At the time, I did not know how to do it. There was nothing I could do. I just wanted to disassociate myself from my government's decision. So really, he's saying he was furious at the government for doing this. So his answer to that was to kill himself. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. If you are angry, if he wanted to make a protest, some kind of protest where he killed himself, he could have set himself on fire that's been done quite a few times by people, as a protest at something that they don't like that's going on. But to go out with a sword yelling Allah Akbar while attacking police with it, that doesn't look like suicide to me. That looks like a terrorist attack. And I dare say it looks like a terrorist attack to 99% of the white population of Great Britain. But as I said, since this court case took place in London, you can make a safe bet that the majority of that jury weren't white. This is the problem with multiculturalism. And it's the same problem with democracy. If you start replacing the people that built the civilization with others, and you then give them the same rights that the others have, they will take over. They will, if you give them democratic votes and democratic rights, they will take over your democracy. And this is exactly what we're seeing now. And they're taking over our legal systems as well, and the criminal justice system that decides on what cases to prosecute and what cases not to prosecute. Moving on to the next story that I want to contrast with this one, and this is about the alleged members of National Action that were accused of being members of the proscribed organisation, found guilty of being members of the proscribed organisation about a month back. And we've actually covered this trial quite extensively on Area in Britannia. This is the trial where there was a young couple there. The mother had just had a child, and they gave the child the middle name of Adolf, which there was a lot of hysteria about, and the mainstream media seemed to think that actually more important than anything else in this case. When this was being reported on the BBC, the sentences that had been handed out, in the headline, the first thing in the headline was the couple had named their baby Adolf. And it was like a later remember that they better actually put something else in there. And at the end of the ticker tape headline, it said, oh yes, and they were also accused of being members of National Action. So the actual crime that they were accused of took second place, really, to the fact that they called their child Adolf. Adam Thomas and Claudia Patatas were found guilty of being members of the extreme right-wing organisation National Action, which was banned in 2016. Thomas, 22, was today handed a 6.5-year sentence at Birmingham Crown Court, while Patatas, 38, that's the mother, got a 5-year jail term. Judge Melbourne Inman, QC, sentencing Patatas, said, "You were equally as extreme as Thomas, both in your views and actions. You acted together in all you thought, said, and did, in the naming of your son and the disturbing photographs of your child, surrounded by symbols of Nazism and the Ku Klux Klan." What has any of that got to do with National Action, though? What has it got to do with National Action? What they name their son, what they put in pictures that they're taking of their son, symbols of Nazism and the Ku Klux Klan, none of that is anything to do with the charges that they've actually been charged with. And the fact that the judge allowed that to enter the courtroom shows an incredible amount of bias, I would suggest, an attempt to prejudice the jury against the people in the dock by bringing up things that they had done that are not actually illegal, but that the judge knew would shock the jury. Continuing, the couple both wept and held hands in the dock as they were sentenced, while Thomas repeatedly shook his head. They don't sound very much like terrorists to me, weeping and holding hands in the dock. Both had been involved in what the judge called the desecration of civic memorials with National Action stickers, including one in Leamington Spa, Warwickshire. Now, the problem with including that is that that happened back when National Action was still legal. So this activity that they were associated with, that they found that they were guilty of being associated with, took place before National Action had been declared a terrorist organisation. So what's happening here is the judge is retroactively applying the law and finding them guilty for something that when the law wasn't actually in place. So again, that shouldn't really be allowed to be included. You can't retroactively apply the law. So either that was brought up once again to prejudice the jury against the people stood in the dock, or they are actually retroactively applying the law and saying because they put stickers on these memorials, National Action stickers on these memorials, that was a terrorist act because the organisation was made into a terrorist group a year or so later. The judge said, "You went there defacing a memorial for those who died in the war protecting this country from Nazis." And again, I would just stress that here at Radio Arian, we do not condone criminal damage in any way whatsoever. We do have our enemies listening to this, and they do very much like to take our words out of context. So I'll just make that point there. We do not support criminal damage. He told Thomas, "Your home with Patatas was a veritable shrine to extreme racism. You and she gave your child the middle name Adolf, and you were photographed on a number of occasions with the child, with you in Ku Klux Klan garb." He told Thomas, the only defendant to give evidence at the trial, that his views had been so extreme, his only recourse had been to claim to jurors that he had deliberately exaggerated to shock. "And that was rightly rejected by the jury," the judge said. But what evidence have they got to show that these were actually his views and he wanted to carry out any of these things that he said in there? I don't think there is any evidence. There is no evidence of them going out killing blacks. There is no evidence of them going out killing Jews. There is no evidence of them going out and carrying out any terrorist acts. All there is evidence of is them talking in a chat room. Words on a screen. And people do exaggerate. And what is the difference here between this case, where the people in the dock have said, "Look, this is deliberately exaggerated. None of this was expected to be seen by the public. None of this was expected to be seen by a judge. We are very, very embarrassed by the fact that this has been seen by a judge." What's the difference between that and the other defendant, the Muslim defendant, who said that when he said that he was a part of ISIS, he was just joking? So this was rejected by the jury, that this young couple were just joking. Turning to Patatas, Judge Inman QC said, "I have seen no shred of remorse." And don't forget, this couple are there in tears, weeping, holding hands while the judge is saying this. "I have seen no shred of remorse." He told her, "On one occasion, you and Thomas said, if required, you each would be willing to murder a mixed race child. These are not idle words. The vile regime you and Thomas worship and which you wish to impose on this country did and would do exactly that. How does the judge know that that isn't idle words? I would make a guess that that was just bravado, an exaggeration. Was there any evidence of any violent actions or violent crimes that any of these people had been involved in? I don't think there was, because none have actually been mentioned. None have actually been mentioned at all. So I would suggest that, in actual fact, yes, these were just idle words, that they'd be willing to murder a mixed race child. I don't know the people involved, but people do exaggerate online. And the government even accept that. They say that because people are anonymous online, they say things that they wouldn't be likely to actually say in public. What about all these threats that are made to politicians? So-called death threats, so-called rape threats. They're quite clearly not statements of intention to carry out those actions. They are just statements of exasperation at what is going on. They may have said some particularly vile things in this chat room, but it's just words. They hadn't actually carried out any actions. They certainly hadn't done what this Muslim did and gone out with a sword and attacked three police officers and tried to run them over. All this couple had done is dress up at home as Ku Klux Klan members. They liked to dress up. That seems to be the main point of this case. They liked to dress up and they called their son Adolf. That's what the mainstream media is concentrating on, because they haven't actually got any violent actions that this group were involved in. Taking account of her one-year-old child, the judge said, as an act of mercy, I reduce your sentence from 6 to 5 years. And I think that is so insulting, to say that to a young mother, as an act of mercy, I reduce your sentence from 6 to 5 years. This judge is going to prevent the mother from being able to bond with her own child. To say that you're going to reduce it from 6 to 5 years as an act of mercy, that's hardly anything. That's not an act of mercy. That's mocking this young mother, that is an act of mercy. Also jailed were Daniel Bogonovich, 27, of Leicester, Darren Fletcher, 28, of Wolverhampton, Joel Wilmore, 24, of Stockport, and Nathan Pryke, 27, of Cambridge. And we haven't actually heard of anything that these people were actually guilty of, apart from being members of this chat room. The court heard Fletcher recorded a sick video showing him teaching his toddler daughter how to do a Nazi salute. Again, that's not illegal. He also pleaded guilty to 5 breaches of a criminal antisocial behaviour order and was sentenced to a total of 5 years in prison. We don't know what these breaches of the criminal antisocial behaviour order was. It could possibly have been contacting other nationalists. The court heard Bogonovich belonged to the inner group on the encrypted chat platform Telegram. Remember that, Telegram. So if anybody thinks that Telegram chat room groups are safe, they are not. He was jailed for 6 years and 4 months. Wilmore was sentenced to 5 years and 10 months behind bars, while Pryke was handed 5 years and 5 months. Judge Milbourne Inman QC said National Action is a terrorist organisation. No argument with that. It has been designated as a terrorist organisation. Its aims and objectives are the overthrow of democracy in this country by serious violence and murder, and the imposition of a Nazi-style state which would eradicate whole sections of society by violence and murder. The problem with saying that is there is no evidence that violence and murder was ever a platform of National Action. They were a peaceful protest group. And you could, and if their information was still available online, people would be able to see that and judge that for themselves. A jury at Birmingham Crown Court, I mean, just to go back there, he's saying that if they wanted to eradicate whole sections of society by violence and murder, that isn't what Amber Rudd said when she banned the group and designated them as terrorists. She said the reason for prescribing the organization is because they were homophobic, racist, Islamophobic, neo-Nazis. That was her reason for banning them as terrorists, not that they wanted to carry out violence and murder. A jury at Birmingham Crown Court heard Thomas and Patatas gave their child the middle name Adolf and had swastika scatter cushions in their home. And this is just salacious details to titillate the masses. Photographs recovered from their address also showed Thomas cradling his newborn son while wearing the hooded white robes of a Ku Klux Klansman. Former Amazon security guard Thomas and Patatas, a wedding photographer originally from Portugal who also wanted to bring back concentration camps, were found guilty after a 7-week trial. Again, it's not illegal to want to bring back work camps for criminals. Thomas, a twice failed army applicant, I don't see what that has to do with it either. That somebody applied for a job in the army. Thomas, a twice failed army applicant, was also convicted on a majority verdict of having a terrorist manual, namely the Anarchist's Cookbook, which jurors heard contained instructions on making viable bombs. The Anarchist's Cookbook can be bought in Waterstones. It can be bought in most major bookshops. So if they're going to say that this nationalist, Thomas, the fact that he had a book called The Anarchist's Cookbook, and therefore he is a terrorist, what does that say about all the anarchists and the communists that actually have The Anarchist's Cookbook? The book was actually written for them. The book was written for anarchists and communists. Surely any anarchist or communist caught with this book should be charged with having a terrorist manual. But the fact that it's just a book that can be bought in Waterstones, it shows that this is just being used to jail these young people. I've looked online for a list of so-called terrorist documents, because obviously if there was a list, people could make sure that they didn't have any of them. But there is no list. There is no list of terrorist documents online or terrorist manuals. The law is supposed to be clear and concise so that people don't break it. And this is deliberately being done so it's not clear, it's not concise, so that it can be used to prosecute whoever they feel like. And the juries go along with it. Daniel Begonovich, 27, of Leicester, a leading member in National Action's Midlands chapter, was also convicted of membership after standing trial with Patatas and Thomas. He was described in court on Friday as a committed National Action leader, propagandist and strategist within the group's Midlands cell. And of course they forget to mention that they're actually talking about back when National Action was legal. That's when he was a leader and a propagandist, but they want to try and make it out as if this is happening now, obviously. The two other men, cyber security worker and the Midlands National Action Cell's banker, Joel Wilmore, 24, and van driver Nathan Pryke, 26, described as the group's security enforcer, will also be sentenced. Fletcher, 28, of Wolverhampton, Wilmore, 24, of Stockport, Greater Manchester, and Pryke, 26, of March, Cambridge, all admitted membership of the banned group prior to the trial. So you've got three people there that had admitted to being members of it. You've got another group of three people there that said that they weren't members of it. I don't think any of these young people thought that they were members of it. But because the actual definitions of what it means to be members of National Action, because that seems to be continually increasing and widening so that it can catch as many people as possible, I think that's why these three here pleaded guilty to it. And for pleading guilty to that, the judge showed mercy on them by reducing the sentence by 1 year. So they still got 5 years, even though they pleaded guilty to this. This is shocking that this is going on. That, and you can say that this organization has been designated as a terrorist organization. So if people are found to be members of it or still carrying out activities that they would have done while they were members of National Action, okay, you could find them guilty. You would have to find them guilty. But to then throw 6-year prison sentences at them when they've done nothing but hold private conversations. Don't forget, these people haven't carried out any of the actions that has been described of National Action. They haven't been charged with any violent acts. They haven't been charged with any extreme violence. All the evidence that's been put forward is that they were talking in a chat room. Really, I think it doesn't help to be so excessive with these prison sentences. If the evidence is there to show that they are members of this group, but they actually hadn't carried out any violent acts and all they had done was talked online, surely 6 months inside would have been more appropriate rather than 6 years. And on top of it all, to have in the same week this other trial where somebody who ostensibly tried to kill police with a samurai sword while yelling Allahu Akbar was let off. I mean, this is shocking. This is what it is that is radicalizing people. It's hearing stories like this. You only have to look at the comments on both these news stories to see what people think of it. And people aren't saying, well, this is great. This is British justice at its best. People are saying, what the hell is wrong with our courts? People that aren't even nationalists are saying, well, this is so wrong. How can you jail a young mother simply for saying things you don't like in a chat room, or for being a member of a group that you don't like? 5 years in prison away from her newborn son, her only son. And similarly, you can see the comments, people saying, what the hell is going on, that this guy with a samurai sword, this Muslim with a samurai sword, how come he's been let off after 2 trials? What is going on with our justice system? And then the government wonder why people want to join populist parties, why people want to join nationalism, why people don't want Labour anymore, and they don't want the Conservative Party, why UKIP is growing. These are the reasons why, because of these travesties of justice that we keep seeing happening. Anyway, that's it for the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday and also through the Christmas period with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.